In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we continue in this Easter season, we continue to hear readings from the book of Acts, and which, as I mentioned before, and will probably mention until my dying day, is one of my favorite books in the entire canon of the Bible. And so today, although the portion that we heard read earlier is usually called the conversion of Saul, I like to refer to it as coming to Jesus meeting times two. So we know Saul was not a particularly good person if you were a person of the way. So anyone who was following Jesus at this point was labeled as people of the way, because Jesus said, "What? I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so with that title, people were beginning to become visible followers of Jesus. Saul did not care for them. And in a major way. I mean, he had already at this point been present at the stoning of Stephen for his faith of being a member of the way. And so here he is still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So this is Saul, who we will eventually know as Paul. He had the civil authority through the Romans. He now has the religious authority through the high priest to literally go and collect these people who are proclaiming the name of Jesus. Amen? And he has a reputation. He wasn't just finding them and going, "You know, we should have some coffee because I really think you should quit talking about Jesus." That is not what he was doing. He was violent against them, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of Jesus is what he was doing. And then, so he's on his way to Damascus, and he has a coming to Jesus moment. And he gets knocked off the horse. Not just knocked off the horse, but he goes blind for a few days. And he has a vision. Ananias is going to, this person named Ananias is going to come and lay hands on him, and he'll be healed. So sometimes I have to look at Paul and I go, "Oh, I kind of get it." You think getting knocked off the horse and hearing the voice and having the people who are with you also hear the voice but not see anybody. That's what the story says, amen? Now, you think that would be enough to believe. But really, it apparently wasn't enough. So now he's blind, and he's having a vision. And I guess maybe in his head he's going, "Well, if this person Ananias comes and lays hands on me and I can see, maybe then I'll believe." And that's why, you know, the scales fell off. He's kind of slow to the moment. Although this seems like this incredible boom. Saul gets hit, Saul becomes Paul, and he is a solid follower of Jesus who goes out and plants all these churches in the first century, some of which we can trace ourselves back to. Amen? We can do those sort of things and go, "Oh, yeah, oh my gosh. If it wasn't for his ministry to the Gentiles, brothers and sisters, that's the majority of us, by the way. There would be no ministry to the Gentiles." Missionary Paul. This is his moment. And we think it was like this, poof, there he is. Here's Paul doing this amazing work. Now, apparently it took a few days. That moment of getting knocked off the horse and being blind, didn't quite grasp, hearing the voice even, Jesus saying, "It's me. You know, why do you persecute me?" And he's like, "Who are you?" He goes, "I'm Jesus." Yeah, quit doing it. And he just doesn't get on board with it. And then after Ananias comes, I guess he's just saying, "Well, maybe slowly." And that's maybe true for a lot of us. Some people have had this moment, right, in your faith journey. You're moving along, and maybe you've heard about this Jesus. Maybe somebody's told you some things about this Jesus. Maybe you sat in the pew your whole life and heard something about Jesus, but primarily it was what you did on Sunday morning. And at some moment, maybe, some moment it just hit you, and all of a sudden you believe in this Jesus? Now, some of us, it took a while. It took me a while. I knew about Jesus. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's nice. And I went to church, that was nice. Okay, that's not true. I hated it. So I quit going when I was a kid, when I was able. Then I went back, also not true. I sent my family back. And then I was convicted by this loving person who lives in my house with me. And I went. And I made this very, I'm really open and ready to receive Jesus statement, where I said, I'm going to go. But if nothing happens, and I hate it like I did when I was a kid, I'm not going back. I'm a grown man, I don't have to sit on a Sunday morning in church and hate being there. Well, guess what? Something happened. Over a period of time. So, much to some people's dismay, here I am. The concept being, everyone reaches this moment differently. Paul had a coming to Jesus moment. Saul had a coming to Jesus moment. So dramatic, he became Paul. Then, after he has this vision, and this is what I love, there was a disciple in Damascus, someone who is already a person of the way, a follower of Jesus Christ. His name is Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. He answered, here I am, Lord. Here I am, I hear you. Right here, it's me, it's Ananias, you got me. He goes, this Lord says to him, get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for the man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name. So we've now gone from disciple, here I am, Lord, and the Lord says, go see this person, Saul, and he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. I know who this person is. So, Lord, maybe you do not understand who Saul is. So let me tell you who Saul is, because I'm not going. Come into Jesus moment two for the day. The Lord, after Ananias gives up this whole thing and explains, you make sure you understand who this person is. Go. This is Jesus says, go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias went. Amazing, wouldn't you think? Here we are, we talked a little bit about witness last year. Here are two witnesses. One, coming to Jesus for the first time moment through Saul. Two, Ananias, one who already knows this Jesus, and even in the midst of being a disciple, is getting yet another come to Jesus moment, which might make more sense to us. I suspect, I could hope, maybe somebody arrived here this day for the very first time knowing nothing about Jesus, and this is your coming to Jesus moment. Thanks be to God. I think that's a wonderful thing. But I suspect the majority of the people I'm looking out at right now, and even the ones I can't see that I know are out there, you probably had some journey to Jesus, whether it was an immediate transformation in a moment, or if it's something that's happened over a period of years, you know Jesus, amen? So Ananias sounds a little more familiar to us, doesn't he? Here we are, Lord. We're ready. And the Lord says, go here. And we're like, I'm not that ready. Maybe I'm not that ready. And Lord says, but I chose. Remind me just at this moment, which is a dangerous thing about being an extemporaneous preacher, many years ago now, as some of you know, we have our grandchildren for a week in the summer, which at first sounded like a great idea. Now there's seven of them, so it's a little sketchier. Still a great idea, except we can't fit them all in one car. I don't know if you've priced rental cars lately. But my son's second oldest child of his three, I don't even remember how old she was, not very. She was at our house, and we were having dinner. Parents were not there. We were having burritos, and she loved burritos. And she finished her burrito, and she turns to Grandma and says, can I have another burrito? And she said, yes. And she goes, I clap, you go. This is what she said to her grandmother. I clap, you go. And I laughed, just like you're laughing, because it's just hysterical. She's a small child. If she said it now, it would not be as funny. But there are times, brothers and sisters, where Jesus says, I clap, you go. That's the deal. And we don't necessarily want to, and I know this to be a fact. Early on in my career, so you're all safe here, early on, way, way back, like 8 years ago. There was a person who, and I know this will surprise you, didn't care for me very much. And she was always very nice to my face. But boy, could she write an email that would rip your heart out. And I'd tolerate that. That's okay. I don't know what that's about, and that's fine. But then, when I wasn't responding, the attacks extended to my family. Now, I don't know how you are, but don't do that. I can take anything that's given, but when it extends to my family, I get a little worked up. You ever had that moment? You know, I'm the youngest of six kids. Everybody knew where the O'Carrolls lived. When you got six kids in your house, everybody knows where you live in our neighborhood. And the other thing everybody else knew, don't mess with one of them unless you want to mess with all of them. We could beat each other up and call each other names, which I think we still do on a fairly regular basis, but nobody else was allowed to do that. So maybe that's where I got that got my Irish up, you might say. And I went to my mentor, because shockingly, I knew even less of what I was doing then than I do now. And I'm telling him about it, and he goes, it sounds like you want to excommunicate this person. I said, yes, I do. That is absolutely 100% my plan. So what do I do? Do I call the bishop? No, you can't do it. No, actually, I can. No, technically, you can. But you need to be her pastor. Have you been her pastor? No. Why don't you go be her pastor? Let me know how it goes. My Ananias moment. I don't want to talk to this person. I just want him to disappear. But I knew when he told me that, everything in my head is screaming, this is crazy. Let me go get six other people who will tell me how my mentor is crazy. And instead, I just sat in it and went, he's right. So the next email came, breathing fire. I see by your words you're hurting. I would love to speak to you about what's going on in your life. Please contact me so we can sit down and have a conversation. And my hands were literally shaking as I wrote it. And I never heard from her again, ever. And I thought, Now I suspect Ananias was having a little trouble getting down the road called straight. In fact, if I was him, I'm pretty sure I would have been, I'm pretty sure this is a place, but I can't really read the house number, so I'm just going to go right by. He was probably terrified. All I have to risk, and most time all we have to risk, is a little bit of our pride, maybe. Maybe a little bit of our personal well-being. He was literally risking his life from his perspective and everyone else's. I'm sure he went to him, he goes, look, I heard from God last night. Jesus is saying, go see Saul. And they're all going, that ain't God. You've lost your mind. If you go see Saul, you're going to, at best, end up in jail. At worst, you're going to be dead. And he could have gone with that, and I'm sure that conversation happened. He was up in his head going, yeah, I can justify not doing this, but his heart said different. God was moving him to do and to go and to do this very difficult thing where he would literally be risking his life. And he went. And even though he was told by Jesus that he had already dealt with Saul, and he was expecting him, he didn't really believe it, I suspect, until he went there, laid hands on him, and the scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he was probably embraced, to be honest. And then now they are working together for Jesus. Amen? Amen. We all have these Ananias moments. We may not be able to relate fully to Paul's coming to Jesus moment, because all of ours look just a little different, and very few of us are riding horses anywhere. But this concept of Ananias and his coming to Jesus moment, brothers and sisters, I have had many, amen? Anybody had one of these moments where you're going along in your faith and you think you've really arrived somewhere? By the way, that is a huge mistake. I was talking to a colleague, and he's telling me about his ministry, and I'm going, well, sounds like you're happy in your ministry. Shh, don't say that. I know what you're going to say, don't say it. Every time I say that, God calls me to go somewhere else. So I'm not, just don't say it. It's just a rule for us. We get too happy and content in our ministry, guess what? It gets turned upside down. Anybody been happy and content in a ministry that's gotten turned upside down? Anybody in this building right now have that happen through this voice? Yeah, be honest. I'm okay with it. I get it. I don't like it any more than anybody else does, but here's the thing. At some point in our ministry, if we are so well in tune to it, and we are so used to it, and we are moving along in such a way that it is, suddenly we start to close in. And the ministry isn't about Jesus anymore. Now, Ananias wanted his ministry to be about Jesus. So I promise you, people were saying to him, don't do that. You're crazy. But he said, but God said, I need to do this. Because there's a bigger picture, brothers and sisters. It's bigger than you and I. It's bigger than these buildings. It's everything. It's literally God's kingdom. We all are invited, whether we like them or not. Man, I'm probably going to be at the buffet table next to the lady who wrote me those emails. And I'll be just as grateful. Not true. I will be more grateful. Because when I had my coming to Jesus moment 2055, I said yes, and I saw the presence of God. Not just, hey, I've had a God moment. We've all had them, right? I've had this God moment. Nope. And those are good. That moment was a God moving through me to another person moment. Those are different, aren't they? When you leave something and you go, whoa, I could have never, ever imagined it would go like that. Like Ananias probably walked out onto the street after that and fell on his face and went, oh, how did that happen? Look what Jesus did. I shouldn't even be here. I shouldn't be free to do this. And not only am I free to do this, but we got somebody new on the team, brothers and sisters, and he is connected. He's connected, and he's going to get out there. We know how zealous he is. How many of us hide when we hear his name? What's it going to look like when he's out there proclaiming the name of Jesus? Oh, my God, look what God has done. Moment. And it only happened for two. First reason is God wanted it to. The second reason Ananias got to see it, and Ananias got to be the one that he worked through, one single word, brothers and sisters, obedience, period. Wasn't because he wanted to, wasn't because it felt good, it wasn't because it looked safe, it had nothing to do with any of it, did it? It wasn't the way they always did it, it was none of those things. In fact, it was the opposite of all of them. And he said to Jesus, after trying to remind Jesus who this person was, he finally said, yes. And he went. And all that happened. Obedience matters. Obedience matters. When God calls, we go. Even if it doesn't make any sense at all to us. Because when we move in that way, we get past a God moment that feels nice, maybe even a little warm and fuzzy for us. We go, oh, that was so amazing. And it was. But if you really want to feel the power of God, when he's moving and you don't like it, when he's moving and it scares you, when he's moving and you know in your heart he's calling you to move with him, you don't want to, when you're experiencing that, brothers and sisters, and in that moment you just say, yes, and you move, that's not just a God moment. You now become his vessel. And he calls us to be his vessel and his witness. That is a different moment. That's when we are doing the fullness of what he calls us to do. And we're going to go down the road, like Ananias had been down the road. And Jesus is going to say, hey, I need you to go over here and do this. And we're going to go, yeah, but if I go over there and do this, it's da-da-da-da-da-da, and that means I have to set this down. I'm not setting this down. I like it. It means I have to work with this person. I don't even like this person. They don't like me. And God goes, yeah, but I want to use them. Now we have a choice. It's your Ananias moment. Will we be obedient, even when we don't want to be? So that God can do what God wants, and we will get to be a part of it. Amen.